All right, we have been over the last few weeks in a series of lessons that we're calling Wrong Answers. And it's really a focus on questions that people have or answers to the question that people have of what do I need to do to be saved, and looking at some of the things that are being told to people that are not what the Bible really teaches. Now, before we get into our lesson this morning, a couple things I want to remind you about. This evening, 5 o'clock over at the Funk's house, we're going to be having our second Sunday Bible study and fellowship time. So that'll be 5 o'clock, and everybody is invited to come and just come out. We're going to have a discussion based on this morning's lesson. So that's what the plan is for that. So if you can, come on out there to Chuck and, Chuck's house and just enjoy that time of Bible study and fellowship this evening. Next Sunday, third Sunday movie, family movie time, we're going to be showing this movie, The Case for Christ. It's a really, really great movie. I want to encourage you to come back and see that. It's a really good movie to show. I think it's at Lee Strobel. I think it's about his life and his conversion to Christ and his investigation and so forth into Christianity. It's a really good, good movie. So I want to encourage you to come back and see that. Okay, now, again, we're looking at this particular question, what must I do to be saved? People are still asking this question today. People in my Jerusalem, people in your Jerusalem are asking this question. Again, the problem is that there are a lot of wrong answers to that question being given by a lot of people. And the wrong answers that are being given are causing a lot of people a lot of confusion. And I think one of the worst things that we've been saying all along is it's giving people a false sense of security. If you're being told all you got to do is this and you're okay and so you do that and that's not really all you need to be doing, then you're feeling like, okay, I'm all right, I'm going to go to heaven, but that may not be the case because you're not doing what the Bible has told you to do. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus made it very clear that not everyone who says that he's their Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father in heaven. So we need to make sure that the answers that we're giving to people are truly what the Father in heaven says. All right, so that's really a major part of what this study is all about. Okay, so we're looking at some of these answers. What are people being told? And then what does the Bible really say about those particular answers and so forth? So this morning, the wrong answer we're going to be focusing on has to do with grace versus works. All right, now, let me just ask you, show of hands, how many of you believe that you are saved by grace? Raise your hand. Okay? All right, put your hands down. How many of you believe that you are saved by works? Okay, that's what I thought. Nobody believes that. Okay, so you say, well, Russ, why are we studying that? I don't really know of anybody, you know, churches, you know, denominations. I don't really know of anybody. I'm sure there probably is because there's a lot of weird stuff being taught. I don't really know of anybody out there that is teaching, you know, outwardly that you are saved by your works. Most people are teaching that you are saved by grace. But if you ask people this question, will you go to heaven when you die? You know what the most prominent answer to that question is? I hope so. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear somebody say that, okay, when somebody says, I hope so, what it so often comes across to me is that they're kind of feeling like this. I hope that I've done more good in my life than I've done bad in my life so that when God judges me, the scales will tip in my favor and I will get to go to heaven. Well, folks, that's salvation by works, is what that is. Okay? That basically what we're really saying is, though I believe that I'm saved by grace, I have to live my life good enough, I've got to do enough good things so that I can go to heaven. So we may be saying one thing, but we're actually doing something very different. Okay? And I think there's a lot of folks in this room that fall into that category. I really do. I think there's a lot of folks in here that will say, yes, everybody raise your hand. Yeah, we're saved by grace, but I think there's a lot of folks who are struggling with that whole issue of, am I working hard enough? Am I doing enough good things so that when I die, I get to go to heaven? So this is a little bit different than some of the others, is that we're not talking about something that people are directly teaching. You need to work harder so you can go to heaven. But what we're talking about is what people are actually doing. Remember back several weeks ago, we were talking about some different surveys and polls. We talked about what's called the halo effect. And when you know, pollsters take polls and people answer the questions, they say one thing, but when you look at what they're actually doing, it doesn't match what they're saying. And I think this is one of those cases. See? Where we believe up here that we're saved by grace and that it's all about God and God's grace and so forth, but right here, when it comes to actually doing and following through, that we're living like we have to work for our salvation. So this morning, we're going to focus on this whole issue of working for salvation. Is it grace or is it works that we are saved by? Now, again, intellectually, we know the answer to that. Okay? But we need to go and let's look at this and see, what is the Bible saying about this, so that we can stop beating ourselves up, right? We can allow God's grace to actually do the work in our lives that need to, and we can be doing the work that we need to be doing. Listen to me. We're going to talk about that too, because there are works that we need to be doing, okay? But we need to make sure we understand those concepts properly. So that's what this morning's study is really all about. We start with no boasting is allowed, okay? In our in the text in Ephesians chapter 2:1-3, Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." Okay? Dead, separated from God. If we die that way, then we are lost forever. Okay? That's what he means here. You're dead, separated from God in the transgression of your sins, and were by nature children of wrath. In other words, that's what we really deserve. Because of our sins, we deserve God's wrath. Right? He goes on to say, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So what the Bible is telling us is that every single one of us, because we have sinned, we deserve to die. Everybody agree with that? Everybody understand that? If we got what we deserved, it would be death. We would go to hell forever, in other words. That's really what it means. But because of God's great love for us and His mercy, He gives us His grace so that we don't suffer death. Instead, we're made alive in Him. What an awesome God we have. Amen? Okay? What that is speaking of is grace, which is an undeserved gift. That's what grace really is. If you want a definition, it is a gift that we do not deserve. None of us deserves to go to heaven. We all, every one of us, deserve to go to hell. But God gives us this great gift, not because we're good, but because He is good. Okay? It is a gift of grace that God extends to us because He is a good God. Amen? Everybody agree with that? Okay. Notice this statement from Paul to Timothy. He says, not because of anything we have done. Now, here's another one of those words that we've talked about a lot of times that is all-inclusive. Okay? Is there anything that you can think of that is excluded from anything? The answer should be no. Okay? In other words, he says, not because of anything. There is nothing that you have done or possibly could do. Okay? To deserve God's grace. But it is because of His own purpose and grace that we are saved. So there is nothing that you can do to earn that salvation. And then people say this, well, I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven, right? It's that kind of belief that all good people, as long as you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven, right? Isn't that really what people think? I mean, if you ask them, they say, well, you know, I'm a good person. And what we tend to do then is compare ourselves to other people. Well, I'm not as bad as. Okay? And then we fill in the blank with whoever we feel like we're much better than. Okay? And so then we get convinced of this, that, well, as long as we're good, then we're going to go to heaven. Well, again, the problem with that thinking is that our goodness is not going to get us there. It's God's goodness that will get us there. Because the reality is you cannot be good enough to make God owe you heaven. All right? There's no way. There's not enough good things that any of us can do that requires God to save us. You see, we need to make sure we understand this, because if we feel like, and we're convinced that as long as I'm good, then I'll get to go to heaven, then that takes Jesus and His death right out of the picture. He didn't need to die on the cross. We just need to be good. So why did He die? If we could be good enough on our own to be saved. The answer to that is because we can't be good enough. And someone said, good people aren't going to heaven. Saved people are. And I think that's exactly right. You see, it's not a matter of whether you're good or not. It's a matter of whether you're saved. Being good puts the burden on me to be good enough so that I can get myself into heaven. Being saved puts it on Jesus and me relying on His blood and His grace to save me. All right? So it's not a matter of just being good enough. Heaven is not going to be filled with good people. It's going to be filled with saved people. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I'm glad of that, because I'm oftentimes not very good. And if I had to rely on my own goodness, then I wouldn't make it. Okay? He goes on to say in verses 8 and 9 here of Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, look at this, not from yourselves. In other words, that salvation by grace did not come from you. It's not by any effort that you have made or done or accomplished. It's not based on the color of your skin. It's not based on your age. It's not based on how much money is in your bank account. It's not based on the address on your driver's license. It's not based on any of those things. Say, because all of those things, you know, that's us, right? He said it is the gift of God. And here's the important part here of this whole statement. He says, not by works. In other words, it's not by the efforts that we make ourselves so that no one can boast. In other words, God does not want you or I walking around going, I get to go to heaven because I'm so good. How about you? Oh, well, just think about that a little bit. But if you were good like me, then you'd get to go to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? Well, you just need to be a little bit better then, don't you? Like me. You see, God doesn't want us doing any of that stuff. What God wants us to be doing instead is to go into people and saying, I am a sinner and I'm saved by God's grace. And so are you, and so can you be. Because it doesn't depend on you being good enough, it depends on you accepting God's grace. Salvation is open to all men, not just those who are good. Okay? Because He doesn't want us going around boasting. He He wants us to recognize that it is not by our efforts, it is by His great love and mercy. So, therefore, then, no boasting is allowed. All right? Secondly, it's payday. Okay? Not that kind of payday. This kind of payday. All right? Because what we need to recognize and understand, Paul talks about the realization that pay is something you get for doing a job. Okay? Everybody likes that part, right? Okay? You go to work and you like getting a paycheck, right? Well, you should get a paycheck because you earned it. Therefore, you deserve that paycheck. All right? Everybody follow me there? Look at what Paul says to Timothy here. He says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain. And look at this last part. The worker deserves his wages. So the idea here and the scriptural idea here is that God says, when you work for somebody, you deserve your pay. So by you asking for your pay, you're only asking for what? What you've earned, what you have a right to, because you worked for it. And so you earned it, you deserve it, you should be paid. And he's saying, make sure that you don't not pay someone if they've done work for you. That's what he means by don't muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. They'd have the ox there working the mill, put a muzzle on him so he can't eat some of the grains. They don't do that. That ox is working for you and he deserves something, you see? And so when you work at your job, you deserve to be paid for that. Romans chapter 4, 4 and 5, look at what he says here. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. So let me ask you this way. So you go to your job and you work all week long, and at the end of the week your boss pays you and says, well, I kind of like the way you work this week, I think I'm going to go ahead and pay you. And what would your response be? Well, okay, thanks, I guess. I'm grateful. No, of course you need to pay me. We had an agreement, right? And I work for you, and so the pay that you're giving me is not because you like me and because of your great favor. It's because you owe it to me. That's what he's saying. I'm only getting what is due me. But he goes on to say, but the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Now, well, what is he talking about here? The one who doesn't work, does that mean great? We don't have to work? No, he's not talking about working for a living here. He's talking about those who feel like that they're working for their salvation, that if I jump through all the hoops and I dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make sure that everything is that I'm working, and so therefore God owes me salvation. Salvation is not something that you can ever do enough for to make God owe it so that it is due you. It will never be that. Because it is a gift from God. It's not counting on a person's work. Okay? We need to understand that. It's not counting on his work for the Lord to save him. That's what this means. All right? So ask this question. The answer to it is, can you earn your salvation so that God owes it to you? The answer to that is a big fat no. Okay, well, what about this one? Doesn't keeping the law keep me right with God? The answer to that, again, is a big fat no. Because it's not about keeping the rules. Okay? It's about living in a relationship of love with God and receiving His grace. You see, God's promises are received by faith, not by keeping the law. We need to understand that. The Jews felt that keeping the law, as long as we follow the law of Moses, then we've got a ticket to heaven. That's all we got to do, just keep the law. All right? People in churches, I think, are doing the same thing. I think a lot of people in churches are living that way, thinking that as long as they keep the rules, then they're saved. Follow the rules, and I'll get to go to heaven. And so as long as I go to church on Sunday morning and you know, Sunday evening if they're having it, and Wednesday I go to Bible study, and a lot of people don't even bother to do those. As long as I go to church on Sunday and as long as I'm a good person, then I get to go to heaven. And that's what people actually practice. Okay? Now, the Jews missed Jesus as the Savior because their hearts were hard. They weren't looking at it from a relationship standpoint. They were looking at it from a rules or law standpoint. And they missed Jesus. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of people today that are going to miss salvation because of the same problem. You hear me, brethren? See? We've got to, first of all, make sure that our heart is softened to Jesus so that we can accept His grace and mercy and stop trying to beat ourselves up by trying to make sure we follow all the rules and we earn our way to heaven, because that's not going to happen. Now we run into this question. Work out your salvation. The Apostle Paul tells us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you say, wait a minute, Russ, that doesn't make any sense. Didn't you just tell us we're not supposed to be working for our salvation? And now you're telling us the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling? What gives here? Well, what we need to understand here is that Paul is not talking about working like this, working for our salvation, working to earn it. Okay? Notice he says work out your salvation, all right? So we're not talking about working for our salvation, all right? Basically, it's the idea that's saying you need to continue to be faithful to follow God's will in your life. Think of it this way. In a sense, think of it as your life as a Christian under maintenance. In other words, that you have to maintain your faith in God. Remember, last week we were talking about the wrong answer where people say, once you're saved, you're always saved. And we said, we saw through what the Bible teaches, no, that's not right. Because a person can actually fall away from the Lord according to what the Bible teaches, right? Okay, that didn't sound real convincing. We just talked about that last week. Is that right? Yes, okay. All right, so in order to keep from falling away, one of the things that we saw in that study last week was we need to be maintaining our faith. So think about it that way, is that my faith is on a continual maintenance program. In other words, it always needs attention. Everybody with me there? That's really what he's talking about. When you think that you have gotten to the point where you're good enough, who's that relying on? On you, okay? And you don't have to do anything else, then you're in trouble. Okay. So we need to think about what Paul is saying here is this maintenance program where we are continuing to allow God to work in us, because that's really what it is. All right? Look at the rest of the passage here. Not only does he say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but he says, for it is God who works in you. Okay? So God's the one who's doing the work. All right? Everybody with me on that? But he's doing that work both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What's his good pleasure? For you to be saved. That's what it is. As we've said over and over and over again in various studies and worship time, what God wants more than anything else is for you, His creation, to be with Him forever. And so God is working constantly to make that happen. He's working on you. And you have to allow Him to do that work. Look at what Paul says, again, back over in verse 10 in the passage we read. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in other words, what He's saying, what He wants us to understand is that, yes, because we belong to Christ, God has some work for us to do. He's given us a task. What is that task? To be a light in the world. To share Jesus with other people. Okay? That's the task that He's given us. That's the work that He's given every single one of us. And by the way, He didn't just give that to preachers and elders. He gave that to everybody. That's the work that He prepared for us to do. And He prepared that in advance, He says. So yes, we are to be doing God's work. But we're doing that work because we belong to Him, not in order to belong to Him. And that's the difference. We've talked about this before, but it's been quite a while, so let's go back and review this. The difference between because of and in order to. Because you are saved, continue to work for the Lord. In other words, do what the Lord has told you to do. Obey Him. Live your life in accordance to His will. That's the work that we need to be doing. Working in order to be saved is useless. Because that, as we said before, goes back to this whole thing, I'm trying to earn it and get to a point where God owes it to me because I've done enough good works. And that will never, ever, ever happen. So we need to understand that the work that Paul tells us to do, to work out our own salvation, is the work of following the Lord's will, obeying His will in our lives, living our life in relationship with Him. That's what it's about. It's not about the number of times you go to church, although we need to go to church. And say we need not forsake the assembly. Don't anybody get anything wrong mixed up with that. That's part of obeying Him, right? But we do it because that's what He calls upon us to do, not so that we could check off our scorecard and get enough points or enough weight in the scale, you see. There's a huge difference between those things. We do it because we are saved, not in order to get to a point where God owes me salvation. We talked about this passage last week. And this is one of the proof texts that those folks who talk about once saved, always saved use. You see, because as we said, they want you to, you know, look at this. God wants you to know that you can be saved. And is that true? Absolutely. But the way that we know that is because we have accepted God's grace, not because we've done a whole bunch of good things. You see? John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, we cannot do this if we're working for our salvation. Because if we're working for our salvation, there's always that in the back of our mind that's saying, have I done enough to tip the scales in my favor? And in that way, you can't know if that's the way you're living. But when you just simply accept God's grace and realize that it's not about working, it's not about doing all the good things and so forth to earn your salvation, but rather you accept God's grace and His love and His mercy, knowing that you deserve death, then you can know without a doubt that you're saved. No scale there, you see. It's all about just accepting His love and mercy. And by the way, the Bible says God is love. It doesn't say He gives love or He has love. It says He is love. And what that means is that God cannot and he will not ever love you any more or any less than he does right now. So you can't do a bunch of good things and make God love you more than he does right now. And if you do bad things, that's not going to make God love you any less than he does right now. Because God is love. He loves you as you are. Now, if you're living your life in sin, continually in sin, he still loves you, but you may be lost because you're not living for him. But if you're living your life for him, you're not earning extra points so that he loves you more. You can look at somebody else and say, he loves me more because I did this. It doesn't work that way. God loves you totally and completely as you are. And because of his love, because of his great love and mercy, he sent his son to die for you. That is his grace and his mercy. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Amen? Now, as I said earlier in the lesson as we began, you know, this whole salvation by works thing is not something that is being taught, but it is something that is being lived. And my fear is, as I said, that I think we've got a lot of folks here who are actually living that salvation by works in the practice. Well, that's what you're doing. And I hope that by sharing these thoughts that we can clear that up and help you to stop doing that. Stop trying to work for your salvation if that's what you're doing, because that won't work. But instead, just accept God's love and his grace and allow him to work his good works in your life. Now, if there's somebody here this morning, maybe these things that I've shared with you cause you to think and go, man, I've got to get this straightened out in my life. If you need some help, some encouragement, some guidance to do that, then let us know. That's what we're here for. All right? There's somebody here this morning who has not yet given your life to Christ, then you are outside of his grace and mercy. But the great news is you can change that right now this morning by giving your life to Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from him, that is causing you at this point to be dead in your transgressions and sin. Repent of that, and he'll forgive you of it. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him, and I'll be right up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up. We're going to stand together and sing. All right?